Welcome, welcome, welcome to Winning Hand, the podcast all about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. As every single time that we have recorded so far, I am your host, Boom Guy, and I am joined today by Keiko.
It's me.
And Lazy Titan.
How's it going, everybody? What's going on?
What's going on, you two? How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm doing just a little bit better.
We're going to talk about some different stuff this time, so I'm kind of excited. We are doing Not My Responsibility, which is a pool aspect card. This is the first pool aspect card we've talked about. It's obviously already in the title of the show, so everyone already knows what we're talking about. We don't need to like slow roll it or bury the lead here. So I'm excited to get into that and kind of a discussion about the pool aspect a little bit more. Before that, as always, we're going to talk about what we've been playing recently, and we're going to take a question that we got from one of the fans. So let's start with what we've been playing recently. Keiko, I want to start with you because you told me that you were going to build a certain deck with a certain hero, and that better be what you talk about today.
So last episode I mentioned building Hulk in the pool aspect, and I'm here to tell you I did not do that, and I never will. No, just kidding. I did. And it was awful. I wish I didn't.
Oh.
I'd have been better off not doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why? That's okay. Didn't see that coming.
No, it was pretty awful. I played a few games and I did not do well in any of them. Even in games where I would have a strong lead, it would just find a way to undercut me. Mm-hmm. Now, this is playing solo. I don't play dual hand or anything. Maybe it'd be better if I played that way. With other players, obviously, they can kind of pull my weight, but on my own, nah, it's not doing it.
I will say, if there's one character that I would have earmarked for being terrible with the pool aspect, it's probably Hulk.
It was definitely Hulk, yeah.
He's just really bad anyway, but then adding a bunch of negative icons on the board for a guy who can't draw enough cards and can't really do anything,
that's just not even the
seems
problem,
like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, the cards are also really expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
There's 2 6 cost events in pool.
Yeah,
that was definitely
Hulk paying for those. No,
it was definitely the biggest downfall. Were all the negative icons? They definitely added up and they did not help. But there are a few select cards though. Like his whole thing is like emptying your hand, right? So tic tac toe and blackout are a couple of pool aspects or pool cards rather that you discard. Resources or you trade in resources for a future effect, so those are nice and very fitting. There is a pool side scheme, player side scheme, Live Dangerously, which you know, if you can overcome the thwart somehow and all four of its negative icon effects, it gets you 2+ hand size. But you really need the stars to align, and you definitely need another player to like really balance you out.
Yeah,
like, I can make Hulk work in any other aspect, like my aggression deck that I have with him, like I can
tap.
Yeah, I get a pretty good, you know, ratio with that one, but pool, that ain't happening.
I think we're going to get into a bigger discussion about pool in a minute, so I don't want to do that here.
Yes.
I just think, I mean,
not for the case.
You only did it for the meme, right? That's why you built Hulk pool. So
I did, but like I was expecting to have a hard time, but also to have a fun time along the way, like I did when I built him in aggression. But yeah. I was just miserable the entire time I tried to play him with pool.
Well, I'm not surprised. It seemed like you hated yourself from the beginning for wanting to do that. So,
but I did it for you guys. So
I appreciate and for the fans. You did it for the fans.
That's what I meant. No, I'm not doing it for you guys.
They were counting
never.
On you.
Yes.
Well, that was short and sweet. I don't think there's more to say about that. Lazy Titan, what have you been playing recently?
I played myself some Deadpool.
Mm.
I did it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Explain yourself.
I know. I feel like I have to in front of the council, but I basically was like, well, I hate this. I hate the idea of this, the whole thing. I don't like it. So I'll try it just to see if I'm right. Three guesses. Yes, I was. Deadpool is dumb and he's not very fun. And I played him in pool to just double down. I don't really like pool that much either. It's just, it's good. It's incredible. It's very powerful. And that usually aligns with fun for me. I like the good stuff. And usually those two are one and the same. At this point, it's just, it's boring. There's no thought. It's truly just like a head empty deck where you just like play card because card good. And then you win because you're playing Deadpool. So you actually just like can't lose.
Well, let me ask you this. You said it's really powerful. When you said it's powerful, do you mean Deadpool or the pool aspect, or did you mean both?
Well, I played specifically the Deadpool deck.
What do you mean?
Oh, the precon?
So Deadpool, no, not the precon. So Deadpool has two cards in his thing that let him, Deadpool, two cards in his set that let him basically just one-shot anybody if you're playing on like less than three or four players. Basically, you take as much damage as you want to and do that much damage. And then he has a card that does damage equal to the damage you've taken. And so the one that takes, you deal damage yourself, costs zero. And the card that does damage, so this card is fire, costs three. So for a five hand size, you can deal like 40 something damage plus your basic attack, which is three because of symbiote suit, which is pretty much enough to get anybody. Yeah. So you just play maximum effort. You take like 20 damage and then you use his katanas, which have piercing. Which means you tough cards don't matter either, and then you just do it. And if it doesn't work, you flip down and you recover for 16 with Chimichanga Truck, because it readies you whenever you exhaust. It's actually 18, because you have 9 recovery with Symbiote Suit. Like, there's just really no threat. And also, if you start an Alter Ego, you can discard a card to find one of the two cards you need for your combo. There's really no danger. Or if you're playing Pool, you can play Mulligan, which just lets you draw a new hand, which is an insane card. There's really no risk to playing it. There's just kind of, because you're Deadpool, so you can't really die, but there's also no risk because you know you're going to get your combo eventually. You just have to get your card down and you win. It's just kind of yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, when Deadpool was announced or teased or whatever before he released, I remember you read the card list and you saw that two card combo immediately, right? Maximum effort and this card is fire. And you said, well, that's crazy. You should be able to use that combo to just like one shot anybody. Turns out you can. That is exactly how that works.
And especially if you play solo.
Yeah, because they don't have enough hit points. So you can just crush them.
Even Thanos can't really do anything about it.
So I will say I played with you in that game. And I still have not played Deadpool. I don't know if I ever will. I think I will give him a little more credit than I thought. I was kind of turned off by the whole thing to start. I thought it's kind of a joke, and I find Deadpool kind of exhausting and tedious and not funny. But when you play him, I think he's got some interesting interactions. He's got some cool cards that do things that I think are kind of fun. I just wish that this two-card combo didn't exist as powerfully as it does. It's like too easy to do it.
It's so easy.
You can choose not to, but then like, why are you choosing not to, right?
He has Chimichanga Truck, which is insane.
Cool card.
So good. He has his katanas, which are pretty good. Just take some damage, deal two. So they're
Arms of Teeth is a fun card.
Arms of Teeth is fun.
Pull a weapon upgrade from your collection. Like, that's fun.
That's fun. I don't know how good that is, but it's fun. He has one that, it's like the Thwart card. It costs one. You take as much damage as you want, and then deal that much Thwart, which is fine. I think that's not a broken card. But either Maximum Effort or this card is fire is too much. They don't need to both exist. And especially because this card is fire is just She-Hulk's card, but better.
Yes.
So like, and I've been saying since the game came out that I wish She-Hulk's thing wasn't limited.
Yeah, it is. It has a cap right? on it.
Has a cap on it of 14 mm-hmm. or something. Which is stupid. I think that's dumb. And so I'm not going to say that there should be a cap on this card is fire. This is a difference because not only can She-Hulk die, so there's a risk involved there. She also doesn't have a card that insta brings her down to one hit point.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take that card, make it cheaper and better, it's like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool idea of a card. And then you also just remove all the stakes and the setup. Mm-hmm. So you just give it a free setup with no stakes to do the same combo, it becomes a lot less interesting and fun and better. But yeah, like, I still don't like it. His other cards are cool. He has this card that cares about like what symbols are on there. One that increases the scheme for the number of acceleration icons. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. He's got some cool, and I like the whole thing about putting out these acceleration icons to do different stuff. That's kind of a neat idea.
And 8 recovery is so ridiculously high.
It's crazy.
It does not need to be that much. Wolverine also revolves around taking damage, and he does not have that much.
Yeah. Yeah, Deadpool. I don't see myself playing Deadpool anytime soon, but it's a choice someone could make, and I imagine I'll see some of him at the con, but I think things have cooled pretty quickly on Deadpool. Like, when he first came out, a lot of people were talking about him, and I don't hear really anybody talking about Deadpool anymore. It died pretty quick.
Because he has one thing.
Yeah.
He's born.
He has one gimmick. Yeah, I've played him maybe once, maybe twice up to this point, and that's exactly how I feel. Like, he's better than I thought, but not by a whole lot. You're not really missing much.
Yeah. When he first came out, everyone was like, oh, Deadpool. And like, they played him a lot, but it very quickly ended and nobody online talking about Deadpool anymore. The novelty wears off. Yes.
Like, I did it once and I don't ever want to really do it again. Like, I don't care. There's not a lot. It's not very interesting.
That's Deadpool. Okay. I played, also to keep with the theme here, I also played the pool aspect. I played Star-Lord. I have to give a shout out to Nelson Oliver Cards because he, in a video, talked about building Star-Lord with pool, and that's where I got the idea, and I built a deck all around Mulligan with Star-Lord. So one of the cool things about Star-Lord is, of course, his power that he can play a card, and it can cost 3 less. Mulligan costs 3. Mulligan lets you, as long as it's the first card you've played this turn, you can put that card out and draw a whole new hand. So one of the great things with Star-Lord is he's got a bunch of ways to sink resources. So using things like CITT to just pitch resources to ready yourself, using things like his guns, which also aren't playing cards, so you can discard cards to activate those and deal some more damage. Using Machine Man to activate him and pump cards to pump him up. So you can essentially play just about your whole hand by not really playing them and just using resource sinks like that, and then use his ability to play your first card, which is hopefully the last card in your hand, Mulligan, and then draw a whole new hand. And ideally, then, the idea was you could do a bunch of stuff for free, kind of, and then draw a new hand. I will say it was kind of mixed results. I think, Lazy Titan, you played a bunch of these games with me.
Yeah, I
think you may have tried the deck, too. It was fun. It's like a unique idea, and that is generally the way I like to build decks. I don't build decks around really strong heroes or like really powerful play. I like to build kind of weird, quirky interactions like that. And for that, I think it was A+. For like actually winning games, it was probably like a C+. It struggled at times, and just getting the cards to line up the way I wanted it to in my head didn't always work. But I had a good time. And I had a better time with the pool aspect than I expected to, which is going to be kind of a segue and kind of a theme of our discussion about pool, I think, overall, is that when it came out, I thought, what a joke, what a waste of cards. Like, you could have just put cards in other aspects. But now that I've played it, I think it has potential. It's fun. And I hope they continue to support it because it's very, very limited. You know, most of the events are maximum 1 per deck, but also there's only 1 copy of them. I hope they continue to add to it so that you can actually have a viable aspect, even if it's smaller than the other ones. I don't expect it to have as many cards as Leadership does, right? But I hope it has enough cards to like build not the same deck every time and be able to like sprinkle some stuff in. But there's some cool things in there.
Some viable meta that it can add.
Yeah, there's some cool ideas in there, I think, and some fun things that, I don't know, maybe they're broken, maybe they're not balanced, maybe they don't work very well, but I think that's okay because it's kind of a joke aspect to begin with. So if you put cards in there, they're a little overpowered, like whatever, you only have 1 in your deck anyway, so who cares?
It's a very high risk, high reward aspect, it feels like.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with high risk, high reward designs as well going into that, so...
I don't know if I describe pool as high risk. It's just kind of really good.
Well, I think he's mentioned, I think he's talking about, well, maybe Keiko can explain, but I think he's talking about all the icons you put out, right?
Yeah, all the icons. Things like it really depends
dangerously,
on...
you're adding a bunch of acceleration icons, and like those are inherently dangerous.
Yep, and counter cards,
yeah,
all that
I guess
stuff.
So.
It I guess it depends on what you put into your deck, right? But
yeah.
I think just generally speaking as a whole, like seeing the number of icons that pool aspect cards have, I think it's just at least how I would describe it as high risk, high reward.
Yeah. I mean, the allies give you crisis icons and extra encounter cards, and
yeah,
he's adding
I guess
acceleration.
There's risk, but I feel like the reward, like it's not like balanced. Like the reward is often way greater.
I think it also definitely depends on who's building the deck. Yeah. I've definitely faced the more higher risk portion of it, but it sounds like you guys are finding that line with the higher reward aspect of it.
I just think it leans towards a way of playing, right? If you're playing a rush deck or a fast hero, it doesn't matter. There's no risk, really, because you're putting out the thing and getting all the rewards before any of that comes home to roost. If you're playing a slower hero that wants to maybe build a little bit, or you are a slower player who wants to establish some board presence, the longer you sit, the worse it gets, right? There's just more acceleration. There's more encounter cards. There's more crisis. There's more everything. So it kind of points you towards moving quickly.
Yes, but you can just not play those cards. You can just play all the best pool cards don't have any symbols on them, basically, is what I'm saying. So like, if you, unless you're playing intentionally a bunch of those random allies.
The allies are good, though. I want to stop here for a second and do an audience question, and then we'll kind of come back to more pool shenanigans.
Absolutely not.
We'll revisit this pool party in a minute.
I hate it.
I hate that.
Whatever. I hate both of you. You're going to be muted for the rest of the episode.
Good.
Okay. So here is the question that we got. The question is from John. He says, what's up, guys?
Hey, I hope that's the whole question.
That is the question. So what do we think? No, he has another one. He says, I play this very casually, so I don't do much deck construction. I dabbled with Marvel CDB, and it's pretty cool. But I don't want to build a deck every time I play. Say I want to keep decks ready for my 3 spider people and 2 others at the same time. I have told it, being Marvel CDB, I've told it which sets that I own, and is there a feature or other tool that I could use to help me build 4 or 5 character decks at once using only the cards that I have? Thanks. Love the show, John. So this question, I think, is pretty short. The answer is no, not that I'm aware of. I think you just have to build them all individually in Marvel CDB. You can't like tell it all the cards and then just click build and it like builds 5 decks for you out of that.
I don't think that's what he's asking.
What's he asking?
He's asking if there's a way he can just keep the decks he like already has together and then just like filter those out, I guess, the cards he's using. I don't think he's looking for an auto deck build tool.
I see. You're saying maybe he's looking for a way to, so that Marvel CDB remembers what other decks he has built and what cards he has left.
So he can
left.
Filter out cards
based
like, on what cards he has left.
Like you already have 2 copies of this and they were used in these decks. Like you can't use it in this deck kind of thing. I don't know.
That question makes more sense. I still think the answer is no. I don't think Marvel CDB has that functionality. But the reason I really wanted to answer this question is because I have a hot take. And I read this question, and I immediately had the hot take, and I want to share it with you guys. Are you guys ready for a patented Boom Guy hot take?
If it's too wrong, I'm going to cook you on this live on this podcast.
If we go into politics again and we have to cut out 30 minutes of it, then I'm going to just
destroy
everything.
Oh, my God, not like last time.
Yeah,
okay.
please
do a
repeat
of last time. I can't handle that again. That was high stress.
There's no more of that. But so here's the deal. Here's my hot take. And I want a jingle for my hot take. So I'll try to insert a little jingle here for Boom Guy's hot takes. But seriously, Boom Guy's hot take is Marvel CDB is bad for the game. That's my hot take.
Explain.
Yeah, let's get a little more context on that.
I think on balance, Marvel CDB is bad because I think Marvel CDB kills some creativity in deck building. and it can become a crutch for people who are new to the game, or not even new to the game, just like who are just playing the game. I think there are a few people who clearly care very much about deck building and care very much about having decks on Marvel CDB, and they have, you know, they write these essays and they have GIFs or cartoons or whatever they use, and they've, you know, they've proxied cards as soon as they're leaked, and they've play tested a deck 200 times so that when Marvel CDB has those things on the first day they're released, there's already a deck with all this, you know, pages and pages of cartoons and text and explanation. And that's not to criticize those decks. Those decks are I think usually very good. I don't play all of them or many of them, but I read to them. They look fine. But what I think that does is then people go and they think, I can't build anything better than this, right? This was play tested 150 times. This person's already said it beats Magneto, it beats Venom Goblin, it beats Ronin on expert. This deck's amazing. And they think, well, like, what can I do that is better than this, right? Like, I can't beat all those people with my deck. Like, why even try? So I'll just proxy this and I'll just net deck. And I think that's bad. What do you guys think?
I think we're punishing the many for the crimes of the few. I think there's like a certain denomination of people. There's probably like what, 12 of them who just like post, who do that sort of like hyper extreme, just like build every single deck, make the greatest thing ever made. But I think the key thing about this game, and you know, we can have discussions about card databases and all that, but especially for Marvel Champions, which is a cooperative card game, LCG, you can just not. Like, you just enact free will and don't. And if you want to, if you're, say you're just a casual who just is like, hey, I don't really know what's going on, there's a lot of cards, I don't know them all, I'm going to look up what somebody else did, go for it. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know every card. Some of us do, some of us don't. And if you don't know every card, or if you haven't played in a while, or if you haven't played this new hero and are looking just for like a framework of what other people are doing, like I often do, when a new hero comes out, I'll usually look on Marvel CDB for like a few decks, see what people are doing with it, and then sort of work from there as like sort of a framework for what I would do. And obviously not everybody's the dexpert, right? Not everybody can do sure, the things I can do, but
of course.
And I think that's, as a design, like a database, like, Marvel CDB benefits both sides of the spectrum of players, right? Cause if you're a casual, you just have a way to play the game without having to invest too much time and effort. So if you're just like playing after work, if you get back from the construction site and you just need something to do, you're doing that. Or if you are someone who's making content and maybe even making money off of this game, you can really dive in and use this to your advantage. But it's a way, and at the very least, if you're just like in the middle, like I would say I am, you can just use it to learn new cards, get familiar with all the cards, and theorycraft decks that you don't have the, like, don't really need to build. Just like ideas, build it out. Or like, I often, at least when I first started, I would use it for decks that I really liked. Like if I built a deck I thought was awesome, I would just like cash it away in there and be like, I'll build this another time.
Well,
I don't know. I think it's good.
Let me just stop for a second and just say, because I know people are listening to this and, you know, somebody's probably yelling at their headset right now.
Who cares?
I'm not calling out any of the deck builders. This is not personal. I don't have an axe to grind with anybody, and I enjoy that they are enjoying the game and putting these things out. Like I said before, I read most of them anyway. I just like read through Marvel CDB on my phone when I have some time and I'm bored. I think it's fun. But I just think I see a lot of newer players who come in, and the first thing they're asking for is like, can you give me a link for like this deck or for this deck? Or like, I don't know how to play Cyclops. Can you send me a link? And I see them playing mostly decks that people have made. And I just worry sometimes that there's not enough, you know, everyone can play the game how they want to. I just worry that there's not enough creativity, and it's maybe being stifled by the fact that these deck lists exist with these hugely exorbitant, you know, all these play tests. And that's great. Like, I'm happy that exists, but I worry that for new players, they get stuck there and think like, well, this, I can't beat this, right? Like, this is the definitive pick your hero deck.
Like, that accessible temptation is there, and that might kind of act as like an obstacle in that creativity.
You might be right. I think my first thought on that is that that's not to get all philosophical here. That might not be a Marvel CDB problem. That might just be like sort of people not willing to put in the effort. Sort of on a larger, grander scale.
It's the people.
I don't want to call people out for not putting in the effort. I'm on Discord a lot too.
That's maybe harsh. But like, just like as sort of like, I don't know, the death of creativity and all that. But
I just see a lot of people coming in saying they've played someone else's deck, and I wish that they, you know, were like trying to deck build. I think that's a big part of the game, and I worry that Marvel CDB is kind of perpetuating their sense of not inferiority, but, you know, like they feel like they can't be that. So
it's like finding a line between what's fun to use or to build versus what's practical. Let me just look up what's the most effective, functional.
I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. No, I think it might be bad for the overall. I don't know.
I think it's definitely there, because the reason I don't really use Marvel CDB is because of that reason. I don't want to fall into that. I already know I'm not strong in deck building, and that's part of the reason. Who is it, John, that asked this question?
Yeah, John.
And that's part of the reason that, like John, I have set aside decks that I built and just haven't touched, don't plan on touching. Because to me, I built them myself, playtested them, and to me, they're my most successive decks, which don't say a lot. But I don't want to fall into Marvel CDB to kind of pick up that weight, you know.
Yeah,
And it's there. It's definitely there for people that do. But I don't know. I can see it. I can see it. Like, I'd like to be able to say I built this deck myself versus, hey, I found this deck, I looked it up, and here I am.
Well, anybody listening, do you think I'm crazy? Is Boomguy crazy? Is Boomguy onto something? Please send me an email. Let me know what you think. I'm really curious to hear other people's thoughts on this. winninghandpodcast@gmail.com, or leave a comment on whatever you're listening on, YouTube or Spotify, or I don't care, whatever. But leave a comment. I will respond. I read them all. Because I genuinely want to hear what you guys think. And sorry if I hijacked your question, John. I hope we answered it, but it just made me think about Marvel CDB overall. All right. So now let's get back to the pool aspect and the card of the day. We kind of talked a little bit about pool already. I think we're going to talk about pool more broadly, but we also want to focus on this one card. The card for today, Keiko, do you want to read the card for us?
Sure, why not?
Do it.
The card is Great Responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is a justice aspect.
Whoa. I got to insert the DJ record scratch here. I don't think that's what we're talking about here, Keiko.
Oh, man, you guys are right. Yes. Oh, man, there's this edit here that
you
Deadpool
have to read the tape.
Put. Yeah, that's right. So, yes, it is a pool aspect, zero cost. It is called Not My Responsibility in Place of Great Responsibility. It is an event, and it is an interrupt. When any amount of threat would be placed on a scheme, you or your ally takes it as damage instead. There is max one per deck. It itself is one genius resource. And that's about it.
Okay, so we always talk about art, and there is a lot to discuss with this one. But it is a custom art.
Yes.
I can't even read that. What does it say?
By Dennis Medry, which...
Dennis Medry.
As far as I know, looks like a new artist.
I've not seen that artist before.
Yeah,
Denis, Dennis... It is 1S, D-E-N-I-S.
So if you're listening, Dennis, Denis, Denice, however we say it, if we're saying it wrong, please message me, and also Aaron. Will you come be on our podcast? Aaron. Yeah, maybe it's pronounced George. I'm not sure, but could let be. Me know
I'm
if
not,
you're listening.
I'm not here to judge. Actually, I am.
Okay, there's a lot to take in here about the art. Let's just start by kind of describing. If you are not aware of what these pool aspect cards look like, we'll just kind of give a primer here. They're pink. It's a new aspect, right, that we've not covered before. So, you know, yellow, red, blue, green. This one is pink. And it says, you know, pool on the bottom. It also, it's kind of a joke, right? Because it's based on, like you said, Keiko, a yellow justice card that, a little peek behind the curtain, we almost recorded an episode for a number of months ago. And now I wish we had, because it would be a good counterpoint. But be that as it may. But so there's kind of like tape over the top of the original name of the card. And then we are to presume, right, Deadpool himself wrote over the top of it because he breaks the fourth wall. Get it? It's a meta joke. So
it's
kind of changed the card.
Yeah, there's like a series of pool aspect cards that kind of change what originally already existed.
Yeah, they don't all do this. There are some original pool cards, but there's a series of pool cards that are based on original cards that already exist. Most of them are bad, and this kind of changes them and makes, I think, all of them significantly better, including this
one. So. Yeah, and I think it's a honestly a smart way for the developers to kind of like change what already exists and is already out there. It's kind of a creative way to go about it.
Yeah, I think I'm on record saying that I wanted the pool aspect to be just this, like just reworking a bunch of old cards in a new aspect. I thought that's a fun idea to kind of fix cards that aren't very good and probably aren't getting any play. And it's a way for them to kind of wink and nod at the players and say like, look, I get it. Great responsibility. Might've missed a little bit, but here's an updated version. Or get ready is maybe like not a great card, but here's an updated version. Right. So why don't, so it says great responsibility as the title of the card. And then it's taped over and says not my responsibility. And what was formerly a hero interrupt, Deadpool is scratched out. It's now just an interrupt. And originally it says when any amount of damage, or no, originally it says when any amount of threat would be placed on a scheme, you take it as damage instead. And the you take has been changed to you or your ally takes. So we'll talk about the strength of the card in a minute. I actually really like the aesthetic of these pool cards, I will say. I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know if people agree with me. I really like the taped over look.
I do too. I think it's very fitting for what this aspect is. Yeah,
I think Deadpool's kind of lame, but
I mean, hey, I'm right there with you. I'm on record also saying I don't think I'm going to play Deadpool because I think it's kind of a tired joke. But I think aesthetically,
yeah,
art wise, I think it really works that it's like it's scratched out rather than just printing a new card. Right, they could have just printed a clean pool card that was different. But I like that it's taped over. It's clearly not into the other card. They've scratched out with a marker. I think that's cool. I think it looks good.
I think that's not a bad way to do it.
I don't know how I feel about pink as the aspect color, but like, I guess I don't really know a better color.
Yeah, I don't know what better color to do to distinguish it from the other aspects.
Okay, so the art is, what is happening in the picture here? It looks like Deadpool's eating popcorn out of his own mask or something?
Yeah, he's eating popcorn out of his own mask. Yeah, he's using his mask as a bag for popcorn.
Okay.
And I think the implication or the inference, depending on, you know, your point of view, is that he's just watching something happen and he's like, that's, I don't have to deal with it. It's not my responsibility. And he's just kind of sitting and watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just like sitting back and watching some drama happen. He's going to let an ally take a bunch of damage. He's just watching.
And he's just, that's it. That's literally how you describe it. He's in his typical costume.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like backpack straps or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just watching something happen off screen or off frame, out of frame.
Yeah, out of view. It looks like he could be sitting in a movie theater. It's like dark. There's like lights and could be sitting in seats. It's not clear exactly.
It's like a very vague background. There's like There's like five dots glowing in the background of like this night sky.
Yeah, and I don't exactly know.
I would count the tape as like art for these series of cards. Yeah. Like that's part of the art, I'd say.
Agreed. I would too. It's part of why I like it. I think that's really good. So thematically, right? This feels like Deadpool.
Yes.
Is there any more to say about that? I mean, like it's Deadpool. I mean, it's a big joke.
It's Deadpool. It's a big joke. As far as the art goes, the art doesn't really convey not my responsibility to me.
Hmm.
It, like he just has popcorn. If maybe I could see something happening, like if I could just see him eating popcorn and there's like an explosion going on, that's like okay. He just like could be at the movies. I don't know.
I don't know how
I get the idea. I can see the tie, but it doesn't like speak to me a ton.
Fair enough.
There's another card that he has called Get in Front of Me, or another pool card, which I think conveys this idea the same of like he just like pushing somebody in front of him. He's like hiding behind some random guy. Like that conveys it a little more, I think. It's not terrible. It's fine.
I will say consistently the art on this set is pretty good, to be honest. I think a lot of them work for me. I think the Get Ragey, which is a play on the Get Ready card, is cool because it's like art that's very similar to that one. The Get Behind Me, like you said, is another good one. I think the one that I spoke about earlier, Mulligan, has good art, you know, where he's like literally drawing a new hand on a piece of paper because you're supposed to draw a new hand. Like, I think the art is pretty clever and works with what they're going for here. My opinion of Deadpool aside, I think it works for what they're trying to say, like what Deadpool is trying to represent.
And I think generally speaking in this series of rewrites for the pool aspect is the art tries to kind of parallel what the original was, but this one's maybe a little more difficult because the original is just Peter Parker's spider emblem in
it's
full
his
frame.
Mask. He's like holding his mask. Yeah, it was like his emblem and he's holding his mask. So I guess they're trying to like, he's
the
holding
same
his
way
mask
Deadpool's
too, but he's eating
his
popcorn.
Mask. Yeah. So I see what they're doing. It's based on the same art. It's him watching with popcorn. I think it works for the theme. Now we'll get into like the power of this card. What do you guys think?
I think it makes great responsibility. And you mentioned this before. We kind of had a behind the scenes fact is we tried to record an episode and we all came out feeling unsure about it. Great responsibility. So I think this fixes it as far as how it goes, maybe to our opinion, definitely from my opinion, but it just kind of brings it to more of an average point.
Yeah, we did actually record that episode, listeners, but we had some technical difficulties with our equipment and the audio was so bad that we scrapped it. So that was that one is in the dustbin of history. So we won't ever hear that. And I wish we had though, like we recorded that way before we knew this was coming.
It was
an early episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this does make the card a lot better, right?
Yeah, it makes it better.
Which isn't hard because it wasn't a great card to begin with, I think was the consensus.
No, it wasn't.
However, it's only one per deck. And that's a lot of these Deadpool events. So it's...
Ooh, that reminds me. One more thing about the art. So the max one per deck at the bottom, it's a little text box.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not the tape. It's different.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it being like, oh, I think that's kind of lame. But then I realized that on the Deadpool card, that little text box is that's the game developers. So Deadpool writes on the cards in like the meta version of the cards. Deadpool's the one writing on them. And the little like nice comic boxes are the developers addending his changes. So like on Deadpool, he scribbles zeros on his power. So he has 200. And there's a little text box that says, ignore these zeros in that same font.
Yeah, and that little yellow
orange box. That's kind of a cool little through line of like. Yeah. So the yellow orange box is the game makers being like, actually ignore this part of it. Like we'll allow this, but we're overruling this. But the tape, anything scribbled or taped, is Deadpool just like messing with the cards. So that I think is cool.
So it's like a cute back and forth in the pool.
It's like a little back and forth, but they have their specific little like different text styles, so you know which one's which.
Yeah, and it works. I think it works in this. Yeah. One per deck is hard. Like all of his events, I think, are one per deck in the pool aspect.
Most of the redo ones are.
Yeah, it's just hard to. It's hard to build a coherent deck, I think, just because there aren't that many cards, and the ones that there are, I can't include three copies of. So I find it sometimes difficult, and you're just including the same cards every time in the pool aspect.
But they're all generically good. so you can use them.
I often find that I wish they were basic because I want to sprinkle in like a few of them with another aspect rather than having an entire aspect of them. So
exactly. And that, you know, could have been done. Could have been just some basic cards.
Could have been done. Yeah. They could have had a series of Deadpool cards that were basic. So what do you think, Keiko? What do you think about this? How powerful do you think this is?
It's still hard to say. It definitely brings it back up as far as its usage, its viability. But yeah, that max one per deck just kind of, like you said, it's hard to find a couple of copies, let alone just one. But maybe that's why it's supposed to be used in conjunction with the other, you know, rewrites of the series. Like,
Did you play this in your Hulk pool deck?
I don't think I have this one in my Hulk pool.
Okay.
I think I had it in my Deadpool plays. So,
okay.
I don't know. Maybe just during playtesting, like it messed with the gameplay, the meta, but I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know what the decision comes from.
Lazy Titan, what do you think as our Dexpert? What do you think about this card?
I was going to say, let me get a little Dexpert for you here. Let me get a little card game theory. Everybody sit down for deck building 101 with Professor Dexpert
here.
As far as games go, so for those people who play card games, singleton is sort of the community slang term for a deck building style of a game where you can only have one copy of every card. There are various card games like this. The new FFG game, Star Wars Unlimited, has this. Magic does this. There's other games that do it. But in singleton games or formats, every card becomes less significant and sort of builds sort of more of a builds more synergy rather than impact. So when you have a multiple copies format or a game like Marvel Champions where you can have three copies of any card, every card has to do less because you're going to get the same cards. So not every card has to have a huge impact because you're going to see the same five. But with a singleton form or card or game or format, every card has to do something on its own, like be good on its own and also support the larger game plan to be excellent. So this adds sort of that element into a multiple card game. So we're adding sort of single copy cards, which we have in this game before. I've had in this game before. But especially events, which are literally one-time use, like allies and stuff that are unique, you see them. But even as far as allies go, you're not usually playing for one specific ally. You're just playing for the mass of them, which I think kind of proves my point, right? In an ally swarm deck, you're not looking for a certain ally. You're just looking for a number, any allies, and they're all good. They all fill the role, which is more of like a singleton style of deck building. Whereas in like an aggression events deck, you're playing the same four events every time because they're good. So this provides, it's a very good card on its own. It has a lot of utility, but because it's only a single card, it can't provide that much impact to the deck. So when you draw it, it's good, but it won't, you can't build around it and you can't like archetype around it because it doesn't have enough effect on it, like on the deck. Like statistically, you're just not going to get it that often. So you can't build around it really as well. And there's no way to search for specific cards in Marvel Champions, or no real way. So you can't build around it in that way. So it's good, but it can't be built around really because it just doesn't have enough impact on the deck.
Deck building 101 with Professor Dexpert. No, I see what you're saying. Like, you just can't have as much impact with one dive bomb in your deck as you can with three dive bombs in your deck because you will just see them more often, right? You can more reliably play them out. I don't know. I think, a good card. It makes a bad card certainly better. I don't know if it on its own is a good card. Like, if this was a basic card, would you be putting it in your deck?
Sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it more helps for like a turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously straightforward. Like, yeah, this is used for one turn. It's because you only have one. But going from hero interrupt to just interrupt, you know, you could be an alter ego and take all the threat for that one turn. And maybe that's why it's one per deck.
That's honestly zero the biggest cost. Part of this card. Yeah. The hero dropping the hero in makes this is a bigger change than the ally taking damage.
Yes.
I will say for the deck that I built around or with this card in mind, I built around it as well as I could. like I said, you can't really build around it. So I just built a strategy that works and put this in, which is I built a Web Warriors deck. And since they want to be defeated, perish, enter the next phase of their lives, you use this to basically take them out. So you just, you hero interrupt, kill, go spider, whatever, go draw your card, go find your event, and then continue cooking.
I mean,
so that's how I thought of it. My other idea for it was to do Doctor Strange and just do the Colossus thing and have tough cards on everybody.
It's a huge benefit, like we said, to make this just a straight up interrupt. Because as anybody who plays the game knows, most often when Scheme is being placed, it's, unless it's a normal upkeep, villains only scheme when you are not in hero form. So that card loses a lot of utility if it can only be played in hero form. Now, in multiplayer, almost always somebody is down on a turn. So if you draw it, you can play it. But this is just better. And the fact that you can also put it on an ally, again, means it's just better because you don't have to take it yourself. I think it's decent. I like the reworking of old cards. I hope that keeps going. I hope they go back and make some other cards better, you know, fix some bad cards or tune down some good cards or just change them. Just do something crazy.
I hope some of them can have three copies, though.
I don't know how many.
I think only one copy for every card becomes very limiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless that becomes Deadpool's thing, which it isn't because there are a few cards that have multiple copies. But that could have been a pool aspect thing, right? Like every card is only one copy. And if you're playing pool, that's what you're playing.
A lot of things could have been a pool aspect thing.
That's true. A lot of things could have been, and they weren't. Or they were, you know. Okay, so we need to move on to the final score for this card. Does anybody have any final thoughts before we move to scoring this card? Speak now, or Deadpool will eat his popcorn.
I am just looking forward to more pool cards, honestly. Yes. I mean, if it's here to stay, it's a legit new aspect. The amount that we have now, maybe, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, there's more synergies you can find because there's a limited number of cards, right? It's easier to just kind of track them down. But there's a limitation to what it can do because of how little the pool is.
The card pool.
But, no, I'd like to see more pool cards. Yeah. And hopefully, yeah, like you guys said, more of these rewrites, but, you know, being able to have more than just one per deck. Like, I don't want it to fall into another new niche. Like, I want to at least use it in the aspect that I'm using.
I think I was, like, not a big fan of this when it was announced. I thought a new aspect. I wasn't sure there was space for a new aspect in the game. I wasn't sure it was needed. I may have been slightly turned on that. I played it, and I think it maybe has a space. But I'll be even more disappointed if this is all we get. Like, if it's the end of pool, I'll be pretty disappointed that we even did it at all. You know, if in a year or 2 years, like, we still have not had any pool cards and this is all there is, it'll just feel like kind of a waste. And I will then wish that we had just gotten other cards that we could play, you know?
So,
and I also want to go on record to say that this episode in particular, we're recording a few days before Age of Apocalypse. So if there are new pool cards, like, cool. But
we haven't seen any teased yet. No, I don't think there's any coming. Then they haven't teased it. And, you know, the way Fantasy Flight releases games, like, this is super nerdy now and maybe not very interesting, but the way they've released this game, I don't know. Like, they generally don't like to release things that you have to have other product to play except the core set. So the presumption is by the game makers that everyone has the core set. And then beyond that, you can pick and choose. Like, if you don't buy anything else and all you buy is the scenario packs and you have Kang and Wrecking Crew and the Hood and Green Goblin and the core set, like, you're still good to go. You're not missing anything that's required to play. Releasing future pool cards, if you only release, like, you know, two or three in the back of a pack, you're requiring someone to own the Deadpool pack. And that seems to go against how Fantasy Flight has designed this game. So unless they release a full other Deadpool aspect hero, everyone thinks Gwenpool is coming. I don't know what really a Gwenpool is, and I don't know what other pool aspect heroes could be. But unless they release a full hero, I'm not sure when they are going to release more pool cards. That's kind of the part that doesn't worry me, but makes me concerned that we aren't getting more.
That is actually a really good point that you brought up is, you know, you have the core set, you know, you have the four original aspects, built cards. But if you buy future pool aspect cards, you kind of need the Deadpool pre-con.
Yes.
Because another detail with the pool aspect is that there's a set aside Nemesis set or mm-hmm. Nemesis deck that you have to have with your pool aspect.
Yes.
Because what is it?
The Crisis of Infinite Deadpools.
Yep. That gets thrown into the encounter deck. And if you draw it, like it triggers that Nemesis set. But if you don't have that, you can't play any pool cards that come out. So you kind of have to buy the Deadpool pack. That is a good point that you brought up.
So that's the part that makes me, again, concerned that we won't be getting more, because it would essentially be necessitating you to buy the Deadpool pack. So I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, the game is kind of predicated, unlike LOTR and unlike Arkham Horror, where you kind of had to buy everything to do a campaign. The idea of this one is every hero is pre-constructed as a deck. You can just buy your favorite as long as you have the core set. If the only other thing you like is Cyclops, you can just buy the core set and Cyclops and you're good to go, right? So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll get Gwenpool. Maybe there's other pool versions of heroes that we'll see, and they will include another copy of Crisis at Infinite Deadpools, or, you know, I don't know. But
would you be mad if they just released a hero? Like, what if Magic just came as pool?
I wouldn't be mad. No.
That could be a way to do it.
I'm fine with heroes. If it's another aspect. Aren't even pool heroes, right? Sure.
Yeah. This Bishop is pool aspect as pre-con.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. What if they released like a Daredevil with a pool aspect, people would lose their minds. But yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, the ones I'm really hoping for is the Fantastic Four. I've said that before. Like, I really want the Fantastic Four so bad. But if, like, I don't know, Johnny comes as pool, I'm fine with that.
Well, you're not getting it for the rest of this year of 2024.
It's not coming in 2024 because Fantasy Flight said in a live stream that they're spacing out the heroes this wave. And so we're only getting the Age of Apocalypse wave this year.
Yep. So for X-Men fans, rejoice. But for us three, we're sad.
Yeah.
X-Men not fans, huge. Rejoice. The 99%. Yeah. All three X-Men fans can have fun and we will be sad.
Yeah, we'll be
X-Men,
waiting.
A lot of people like the X-Men, to be fair. And it's brought in a lot of people. And I'm happy that people are getting the heroes that they like. So I'm not...
Nope.
I don't want to yuck anyone's
anybody
yucks.
Who likes X-Men. Anybody who likes X-Men, you can come see me, because I got beef with
just, you. I'm just not a huge X-Men fan, and three waves is just a long time to wait. But I'm happy people are getting the stuff that they like. All right, let's move to final scoring. I'll go first. I don't always go first. I'm going to go first this time. Boom Guy says, not my responsibility. I'm going to give this one a 5. I want to put it right in the middle. I think it's better than Great Responsibility. They've improved it by making it just an interrupt. I like the art. You know, Deadpool eating popcorn. I kind of get the reference on the art to the last card, which I can see. I get the reference of him looking at stuff. I do really dig the tape vibe and the crossing stuff out. I think that really works for Deadpool. And I like the little cartoon box of max one per deck. I think overall it works. You know, there's not a ton of cards to play in pool, so I'm probably playing this in a pool deck just because I don't have a ton of choice. But it's right in the middle. You know, as we always say, 5 is true neutral. It's not good. It's not bad. It's right in the middle. And that's where I fall on this one. Keiko, you want to go next?
I'll give it a 5.5. Very, like, ever so slightly above average. You know, zero cost. It's an interrupt. You can throw your ally into the shredder to take the damage, but you only have one in your entire deck. And just like Titan said, that doesn't really change the game much. It's just kind of a one and done kind of thing. If it didn't have that limit, it'd probably be a lot higher, like significantly higher, I'd think. But with that limitation, it brings it down to just a little above average, I would put it.
Lazy Titan, the last word on Not My Responsibility.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
I think this is a solid card design. I think this is an interesting card design and sort of a cool iteration on a pre-existing card design. I don't think it's a very good Marvel Champions card design. And I think that takes some points away from it. I think it's, as far as cards go, it's pretty well made. Like far as like power level based on its game, but I don't think it fits into the game that we play very well for a couple reasons. I just, I don't think it doesn't feel good. It doesn't like that. Like it doesn't feel good to play. It feels like it's just kind of fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so slightly below average, but not terrible. We kind of all fell right in the middle on this one. No one has any strong feelings either way. But overall, that was our first pool aspect card. And I imagine we'll get another one in the future. I don't think that'll be the last one for us.
Yeah, maybe Crisis of Infinite Deadpools. Or my personal favorite pool card is I Got This. You know, maybe one of those.
All right. Well, we'll pick another one in the future. For everybody who's listening, thank you for listening. If you got this far and you enjoyed it, please consider dropping a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. That really does help. We'd appreciate it. Five stars, as always, as we say. And for everyone who's listening, at the time of release, I hope you're playing Age of Apocalypse. Now that our podcast has released, hopefully you spent the weekend playing Age of Apocalypse. This will come out on Tuesday. So I know I will have been playing it all weekend, and I'm excited to hear everyone's thoughts on it and to finally see it all in my hand. With that said, I will sign us off here and say goodbye from me, Boom Guy, from Keiko, and from Lazy Titan. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next episode. Bye, everybody.
Stay responsible.
Later.